You know, I was happy to see you all clap. I really was. I was the only one clapping earlier, and I thought, well, I know you. There's some rhythm in this group. Eventually, it'll come out. Now, I'm not talking about you, Mike. It's okay. So, anyway, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. You ought to be able to find that real easy, because I'm going right back to the very same scripture passage that I used last Sunday morning. Mark chapter 6, saw something very interesting, even beyond what we talked about last week, the wow factor. This is even more pertinent because this is about being ordinary. Just being ordinary. Common. All of those things. You know, in a world of prima donnas, and I'm talking about athletes, I'm not talking about you ladies, I'm talking about those athletes that they get paid everything. You know, you pay. How could you make a couple $1 million for one game? I mean, really, seriously, how can you do that? But that's what some of them make. You know, you can be the LeBron James of the Lakers and have, well, the Lakers, the Heat. Let's see, you play for Cleveland. Let's see, anybody, you play for anybody else? Well, I said Miami. I said Heat. What? That's it, just three of them? And he kept moving up until he got more money every time, you know. You know, they always do, you know, they're prima donnas. I mean, but you know, I found out that coaches have a way of humbling those prima donna athletes. High school. Yes, I can remember that far back. Long-term memory is very good in old people. So I can remember these kind of things. You know, I remember one of my coaches said, Daniels, who told you you were special? I said, nobody. He said, well, then when did you get the idea? And I melted. He made the same comment to my best friend, Butch Real, who happened to be an parade All-American fullback. And he made a comment to him. He said, Real, who told you you were special? My mama. She lied to you. He could never humble Butch. Butch was the only one. He said they were sitting around picking clover, four-leaf clovers, and we were sitting at football practice, and he's out there, and sure enough, he said, he looks down there, he said, you guys need to pay attention. I'm tired of y'all picking clovers while I'm trying to coach you. And about that time, Butch finds a four-leaf clover, and he hands it to him. He didn't slap his All-American fullback, I can tell you. Me, he would have slapped, but not him. That's right. You can imagine how you get to become special. Put enough money into it. Throw enough money at anybody, it sends the message that you're special. That you are everything. That nobody's like you. You're beyond all the rest of us. You're just that kind of person. And then you read in the Gospel of Mark, the 6th chapter, and we're going to begin at verse number 1, where I began last week. And I'm going to go right down the very same path I went down last week, but with a different emphasis. And he went out from thence and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogues. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could do there no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went around about the villages teaching. One of the realities of our day, and I think it's a reality to every one of us, tomorrow is just going to be another day. It's an ordinary day. It's a day that we call Monday, and some dread Mondays. I like Mondays. I think Mondays are great. I like Sunday too. But I think Mondays are great. But I can tell you this, tomorrow, I won't have a butler drawing my bath water. I really want Sammy. I won't have a butler doing it. No maid is going to lay out my clothes. Yes, I probably would like to see, like I wanted this morning, I wanted steak and eggs and, you know, some homemade biscuits and stuff for breakfast. Did I get that? No. Didn't get that. I thought some freshly squeezed orange juice would be very nice. No. Didn't get that either. Then I was reminded, Dad, it's not your birthday. I was born in November, not in February. And it's not Christmas. None of those things. But I got to sit with Lily, so that made it very special to me. Tomorrow's just going to be an ordinary day, people. I mean, unless you got something very special on your horizon, it will be another ordinary day. You're going to go out. You're going to get in your ordinary car. And if you're special, you've got a truck like mine. You people just are, you guys got to go through. Did you use all your energy up during the last song? Is that what it is? There won't be a limo in your driveway. And if you had a chauffeur, he's probably on vacation. They're not going to take you anywhere. It's not going to be one of those kind of things. You're going to go get in your sedan, your minivan, or your beautiful truck. If it's red, it's very beautiful. And what are you going to do? What's going to happen? It's going to be an ordinary vehicle taking you to an ordinary job if you're still working. Or, okay, Cliff, you're not working anymore. Ordinary life, how about that? But it's a job you like, I hope. You got jobs you like? I got a job I like. I like this one. I like another one that I have. I enjoy those things. But it's not extraordinary. It's just not. Now, my secretary did something very nice for me this morning, which was really good. She came and did some notary work for us, and that was great. But I can tell you this, she didn't clear my schedule, so that White House briefing that I was supposed to get this morning. Yeah, could you see Mr. Biden calling me? He wanted me to read out of Revelation chapter 8 about the gloom and doom coming his way. Okay. He didn't clear that, and I didn't get put on Fox and Friends, so, you know, I'm just not into that right there. I'm going to go to work, and I'm going to work 8 to 10 hours tomorrow. It'll be great. I'll enjoy it. I'll come home wasted, take a shower, get up, go feed a bunch of men that hopefully they enjoy it. They'll have to. I want to get home before the traffic gets thick. Anybody ever go down Bosque at about 5 o'clock? Oh, you don't go down, that's a smart thing. But you come down Bosque at 5 o'clock, you get down to Highway 6, you might make 3 traffic lights before you get to go through. Now, can you imagine living in Houston? It's not worth it, is it? I used to get stuck in Dallas when I worked up in Highland Park. That was not a good time. I made sure that I stayed and worked 14-hour days and went home about 9 o'clock so I did not get stuck on the freeway. Just didn't like that part of the deal. Just wasn't anything. But I can tell you all about it. Why are you talking about that? Well, the reason I have to drive home is because my helicopter's being serviced. I would get the Lear, but, you know, the Lear, it's too short of a trip from that side of the, from the airport to Rosenthal. They have to land on Highway 77. We haven't quite got the runway finished. Richard hadn't been out there to make sure it's all done yet. You know you're building me a... Okay. A landing strip in the back. Okay. Just want you to know. Oh, in fact, I really, really wanted to say it was my mother-in-law. She booked the Lear so she could go to the Caymans and get her hair done. You get it next week, Debbie. I know you got in on your hair deal, so you'll get it next week. How about that? What's the truth? All of us live ordinary lives. We don't have Lear jets, we don't have helicopters, we don't have, except for some of the exceptional things in life, we are ordinary, we're common, okay? I know that may break some people's hearts this morning, but it's the truth, it's reality. Now, we have exceptional moments. We got married, right? We had children, that's exceptional. Then we had grandkids. Those kids finally grew up to do something right. Wasn't that great? They had kids. And this one over here is not paying any attention to what I'm saying this morning. Yeah, you're ignoring me. But I got grandkids. Hey, I had them this weekend. They were fun. You know, I sent them outside. I'm trying to take a nap. What are they doing? They're out there with a shovel in right outside my bedroom window on the concrete, breaking ice. I know it was you, Michael, and Caleb. I know exactly who it was. You know, but those are exceptional moments. You know, you get away from that. I know some of y'all have some exceptional moments in your own life. You got your trophies that you keep in your room or display them where you ever see. You know, when you won the club ping pong championship.
Yeah.
Yeah, you remember that. Yeah, the club ping pong championship. Or your bowling trophies. You know, all those trophies. Those perfect games of 159. I would love for you to be, I would wish you all could have met my dad. My dad was a unique guy. He was the kind of person, and I've shared this because I spoke at high school graduation. And what he did, he gave me a manual when I was getting ready to get out of high school, which he was thrilled that I finally passed. But he gave me this manual that said, how to run away from home and be successful. So I came to Texas, the promised land. I did. I ran away from home, came to Texas. He was shocked I didn't come back. 50 years ago, I'm still here, and I love every moment of it. I'm going to stay right here. You see, we have ordinary lives. These things that we get are great, but there are few and far between that when they become the exceptional part. You know, it'll be the same thing tomorrow morning that we face every day. But you know something? It makes you stop and wonder. Are ordinary people special in heaven? You ever think about that? You ever think about your life? And you really wonder, you know, everybody talks about Jesus knows everybody and he knows our inner workings. He knows all about us, everything. But in heaven, are ordinary people special? You never think about things like that? I guess I'm the only one that thinks about that. Does God love ordinary people? I think he does. He made enough of us. He did, yeah. I've always asked myself, too, and I'm sure my dad asked me that, will he ever amount to anything? Ever thought about that? We ever do anything exceptional that somebody will recognize that? Will you make a contribution to your society? How about your family? Will you be worthwhile in your family? How about in your church? Will you be worthwhile in your church? You know, those are questions that have to be asked all the time. I know when I fled to the South, I was just another pretty face at Baylor. Oh, no, maybe not a pretty face. Okay. The world is looking for something. And they put their emphasis on the thing that you and I probably don't succeed at all the time. There's a great pressure placed on everybody, a pressure to be somebody. There's a pressure to be recognized. There's a pressure to be remembered. When we have services for funeral services, they want to tell all the great things that ever happened. I promise this, I'm sorry, but I will not lie about you. I may not tell all the truth about you, but I'm not going to leave part of that out. I know I will. But what is going to be said about you? This is what the world wants to know. I've been to services where somebody talked about a certain person. I said, that's not the guy I know. And he certainly wasn't that I can remember. Maybe you want to be special. Well, just have a mass shooting. That'll bring you out of the crowd. Maybe you can be somebody that, I understand Jim Jones drank some of his own Kool-Aid. Maybe you could start a cult. Maybe we could have another Branch Davidian deal. You could be special. What was that guy's name? David Koresh or what was it? Vernon Howe, right? Howe, is that the guy, Vernon Howe? You don't know? Well, I am telling the story. You're right. You could bomb the Boston Marathon if you want to be special. You could strap bombs all around yourself and walk into a crowd of innocent people and blow yourself up and them too. But nobody's going to remember that. Anybody remember who won the Super Bowl last year? It wasn't the Cowboys, I can tell you that. Who? Tom did win that one, didn't he? That one and about five others, yeah. There were six total? Seven total. Yeah. Oh, well. Maybe if you can't be Tom Brady, I know that's, I see the ladies going, ooh. I could mention a few other men, but I won't do that. The world has an emphasis, and that emphasis is always about being special, being different, being recognized. God has an emphasis also, and we find it always in the Scripture. And if you're ordinary, and that's the description of you, I want to tell you this morning, you're in a good place, because that's the very description that was given to Jesus Christ. You say, well, I just can't believe that. You can't believe that Christ was ordinary? I said that one time, and a guy asked me, he said, well, is it ordinary to walk on water? Is it ordinary to raise the dead? Is it ordinary to raise from the dead? I mean, is that ordinary? I said, no, that part's not. But if you look at 9/10 of the life that Jesus lived, it was ordinary. For 30 years, he lived in Nazareth. Nazareth's a little place. Have you ever been there? It's something. It's a great place. The only reason it's a great place now, it's a tourist spot. People drive to Nazareth, and they come in the big buses and stuff like that, and you drive in, you look at what, you go up on top of the big 600-foot mountainside, and you look over the cliff where they were going to throw Jesus and all those things. Outside of, I can remember him at 12 years old being in the temple. That was extraordinary. That's where his family found him. But there's no record of what he did as a child. There's no record about his adolescence unless you buy into the Apocrypha and you want to read out of those 14 books where they make up things like, well, when he was a kid, they played hide and seek and they never could find him. Or he made a bird out of clay and then he breathed on it and it flew away. Now, those are the kind of things that are in that book. You know, that it's special for somebody, but anything that he did in that day was ordinary. But he did it exceptionally. It wasn't ordinary, it was extraordinary. He was a carpenter. Isn't that what the scripture just said? Isn't this the carpenter, Mary's son? But I imagine as a carpenter, he made everything perfectly. I imagine that you got the best. He wasn't the guy you look for and said, that carpenter owes me money. No, that wasn't Jesus. You needed a bow for your ox, he could make one. You needed something, you needed a table, perfectly made, he could make that. He did the things as a carpenter, that in a life that was very ordinary. And outside of Mark chapter 6, that's the only recognition I have. The label has to be ordinary. It has to be exactly what it is. That was Jesus' neighbors, that's the way they looked at him. That was their observation. They were amazed in verse number 5. He says they were amazed at his popularity. They couldn't criticize his work ethic. They couldn't do anything against it. They never could criticize the quality of the work that he did. It was an ordinary job, as I said, that was done extraordinary. He did the very best. Tomorrow morning, you got to go to work? What kind of work are you going to produce? What kind of excitement are you going to bring to the office or to the school or to wherever you're going? What are you going to do to make a difference? You didn't realize that Nazareth, his hometown, was ordinary? It was. What, did I not do something right? Dearly beloved, we are gathered today in the sight of God in the presence of these witnesses. No, that's not it. Okay. We'll look at that in a minute. Thank you. Somebody delivered me a note, and I was glad to get it. Nazareth was just ordinary. Yes, we drove to the summit with the privilege of getting to go. I did not do what they told me not to do. They said, stay behind this rope. And I went, of course, I went over there, looked over the side. 600 foot rock. Yep. That's where they were going to throw him. But it didn't happen that way. You know, one preacher's comment about that very place, he said it was just a one camel stop. That's it. And if you've really been to Nazareth, it's kind of like that. It was a big place. But in that 30 years of living there, Jesus gained some things that you and I recognize today as extraordinary. Just the very statements that he made. Could you imagine some of the parables? Did they not come from Nazareth? Could he not stand on top and look down in the valley and see the beautiful flowers and make a statement that none of these are arrayed? Solomon couldn't have built a better one. Couldn't he stand there and see a city that might be set on a... If you've ever been to Nazareth, there is a city. It's a little bit north of Nazareth. We saw it when I was up on the top, and they pointed it out to me. I would have never noticed it, but they noticed. Sepphed, and it's a city on a hill. Oh, a city that's set on a hill can't be hid. I wonder where Jesus got that. I wonder how it was that he looked and he saw the fields. I wonder how it was that he noticed the fig trees. All of that was part of the way he grew up. You read this. You read in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel, the 6th chapter. He considers those lilies. He talks about the birds that are in the air. He does all of those things because he lived what we would call an ordinary life, but he did it extraordinarily. He saw things that you and I might see every day, but it was different. In Matthew's Gospel, the 5th chapter, 14th verse, had that city on the hill. He made things what? Can you imagine? I'm in a carpenter shop. Anybody work in sawdust like me? A lot of us do. Ronnie does. Walter did it. A lot of us did it. You know, you ever got sawdust in your eye? Of course you have. If you've been around it long enough, Richard, you get it in your eye. And then what did he say? Why behold the mote that is in thy brother's eye when you got a beam in your own eye? I wonder if that came right out of the carpenter shop. I wonder if those kind of things that he had to say. How about the sower went forth to sow? Did he not look at the farming that was created in that part of the world? How that some seed fell onto the good ground, some feet went among the rocks, some went among the weeds, some of all those kind of things. All of these things, Jesus listened in an ordinary life. I have to ask you, as I've asked myself this week, am I listening? Am I listening to what God is saying today? Is he telling me something today that would make a difference? Years ago, and I can't believe it's been this long ago, but it's been 10 years now, getting the privilege of going to the mission field, getting to go to Haiti. And one of the pinnacles of that day was to climb on top of the roof of a house. It wasn't hard. They had stairs, concrete stairs went all the way top. But watch the sunrise come over the mountains and over the ocean. It was gorgeous. It was absolutely wonderful. Just the chance to see it. While the whole world at the foot of that was all asleep right there. What is God saying to us today in your ordinary life? What is he telling you to do? Some people say, well, I'm just waiting for him to come back. I thought he told me to occupy till he comes. I thought he told me to work as my Savior worked, as the Father worked. How is it he said, well, I just got a boring life? I hear that on quite a few occasions around my house. You know, if you grew up in Nazareth, that was one city away from boring. I'm sure that he felt that same, may have felt the same way. That's why country kids love to go to the city. Always want to see what's going on. And every city kid wants to go to the country. They want to see what else is taking place. Are you looking for something? If you are, Jesus is a great example of somebody that lived an ordinary life. But he stopped and he looked. They always say, smell the roses while you can. I'm sure that he did. I'm sure that at one point, when he was 30 years old, he said, I got to change my life. Can you imagine? He could not continue to be who he was going to be staying in that carpenter shop. He couldn't be the same person that we know. He wasn't a political figure. He wasn't a movie star. He wasn't any one of those things. All the things that people complain about today, millions of dollars, but I want privacy. Well, if he stayed in the carpenter shop, he got the privacy. But he stepped out of that carpenter shop, and he lived the kind of life that would change the world. But he had to say goodbye to his world. He had to kiss his mom goodbye, had to kiss Mary goodbye, get the last supper that he was going to have in that house, going to enjoy the little bit of time that he had. I imagine he even walked up to the top of that big hill and took a look one more time. But when he came off of that hill, he would go from that place and he'd take a left. If you've ever been to that, you know I'm telling the right story. And he'd head towards the Sea of Galilee. And what would he find? He would find his disciples. He would find his disciples doing the very same thing that they'd done most of their lives. They were fishing. He'd find a whole group of them right there, wanting something different. And they recognized that they found somebody that was exceptional. They said, come follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. You see, within his life, before the foundation of the world, Simon Peter would write in 1 Peter, he said, he was chosen to fulfill destiny. Yes, he came into the world and relieved a lot of suffering, but he didn't come for that reason. He came to suffer. He came to give his life a ransom for many. He came to make a difference in our lives. Behold the Son of God, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sins of the world. That's who he became. But he had to leave a carpenter shop to get there. He had to come to a time, and I've questioned that at times. I want to go, why did he come in the day that the Romans were in charge? Why would he have to come and die on a cross? Why not come a few centuries later when the guillotine was created? At least it had been quick. Why not come in our day? You know, you could have got a lethal injection or something like that. But God chose to do this in a day that you and I would know something. It's one thing to die, but it's another thing to give your life on a cross. You know, people die. Our lives are changed. Their lives are changed. But the ordinary things that pass us by every single day could have been extraordinary. You could have made a difference in somebody's life. You might be that difference tomorrow. You might say a word to somebody and make a difference. Years ago, I heard about a couple that adopted a child. 7 weeks old, little girl. She was the child of a woman that lived her entire life, or at least that part of her life, on cocaine. She had a cocaine baby. A baby that couldn't hear, couldn't see, couldn't talk, couldn't move. But they loved that baby. The doctor said that the baby would live for maybe a year. That little girl ended up living 6 years. And every day, they tended to her. They did all the things that a loving family, a loving mom and dad would do for a child. We have the pleasure of watching them grow up. This little girl never did anything. She never moved. She never did anything. But you know something? It wasn't long after they got this little girl, they got another little girl from the same mom in the same condition, another cocaine baby. And the same thing happened. She lived, but she didn't. She was in a vegetative state, just like her older sister. But every day, this mom and dad loved that little girl also. They did everything for her, and they realized that neither one of them would ever walk across the stage. They would never stand up in church and sing or stay in the choir. They would never be able to do anything. They wouldn't recite scriptures. They wouldn't know anything about these stories. They wouldn't know that name of Jesus, except for it was spoken over them over and over and over again. They would never move without assistance. But they were loved. They were loved in a way that far outweighs the calamity of their lives. They were loved when nobody else would take them. They said, "We'll take her." And that's exactly what they did. And when you find somebody like that, that has a heart and love for kids like that, send them to Jesus. Send that love there, because that's the kind of love he's looking for. He's looking for lives that may be, as we call it, we live in Robinson or Lorena or Waco or China Spring, wherever you live. Maybe Hewitt, but it's ordinary. But you can still wrap your arms around someone that really needs that love. We can still make a difference. Jesus left Nazareth. It was a day that he declared his devotion to you and to me. That's what he did. He left Nazareth to do one thing. It wasn't just to help the helpless. It was more than that. We were those, like those cocaine babies. We were in a vegetative state of sin with no hope. But Jesus loved us even before we could be loved. In Ephesians chapter 2, there's a passage of scripture, and it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved." So I'm asking you today, how ordinary is your life? What will tomorrow bring for many of you? What are you going to do? Are you just going to enjoy your ordinary life? Or are you going to start to pull some of God's infinite wisdom out of his book? And are you going to do what he asks us to do, to share that wisdom, to love people the way he loved people? I know it's commonplace. I understand it's ordinary. But I know this too. We are blessed and highly favored. Every one of us. We don't deserve it, but he still gave it. Make a difference tomorrow. Make a difference today. Go to that job, whether it's ordinary or not, and be exceptional. Be extraordinary for the cause of Christ and for their hope. Somebody's looking for somebody to love them. Be that person. Let's pray.